And as you're turning to 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2, 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2, we must remember that the Apostle Peter was the outgoing, the outspoken one of the 12. Because of that, he was a spokesman for the group. Often, he was speaking before others had a chance to think. And sometimes it seems that he spoke even before he thought. Some of his teachings and thoughts are highlighted in the book of Acts. And he was mentioned frequently in the Gospels and was even mentioned to John Mark, who penned the Gospel according to Mark. With all of that, we only have two short letters written by him shortly before his execution in Rome. Let us now hear part of what the Apostle Peter was led by the Spirit to write. Hear the Word of God. 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with His blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. This is the Word of God. Let us pray. Lord God, we who are elect according to the foreknowledge of the Father, sanctified by the Spirit, and sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ, ask you to multiply your grace and peace in us tonight. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know if you've noticed, but we are in the season of a midterm election. Have you noticed that? And it's going to be an interesting one, to say the least, especially after what has happened the last couple of weeks. Carol and I, since we've been back from the field, have voted in every election. Even the most minor one, we voted in. Because we were practically disenfranchised while we were abroad. We had no permanent residence address here in the United States. So we could not vote for any local or state offices or issues. We could only vote for vice president and president. But in order to do that, we'd have to go to the embassy or a consulate and vote for those offices. The problem is, when we were in Korea, the embassy was 2.5 hours away. It would take travel up there, and of course probably spend the night, and then try to get through the embassy security and then take care of it to come back down. And actually, it wasn't too much easier when we were living in Tijuana either. It was an hour drive, same city, but an hour drive to the consulate. Had to find a parking place. Had to figure out which entrance to go, because they kept changing which entrances citizens could go to, and then vote for just president and vice president. Since we've been back, we may have gone overboard. I don't know if you've noticed. We've even allowed signs to be put in our front yard. That's how much we've made up for the lack of the ability, the privilege to vote. The local, the state, the national elections are important. But there is an election which far outweighs those elections. That election is God's election of us to be His children. His election of His people. In the passage, we have seen certain things, even though it's a short passage. We are seeing that we are elected to be scattered. We are elected to be scattered. But first, let's think about that word elected. You know, we think we know it being in a free democratic republic, what election is. Election is a choosing. We all know that. It is a choosing. And actually the Greek word eklektos is where we get the word election from. It is a choosing. But it's not that we chose Him. It's that He chose us. The problem is, we're not running for any office. We're not running toward God. We're usually running away from Him. And yet, still, He has chosen us from before the beginning of time. He has named us by name to be His children. But this word, eklektos, is the root of another word in English. And that's eklektic. The eklektic election. Try to say that fast three times. An eklektic election. Now, what in the world could that possibly mean? Many of us say we're eclectic. A lot of times because we just can't decide what we like. And you could see what eclectic is when you, if you ever come to visit us in our house. It's a nice little cottage-style house built in 1950. So here in Tuscumbia, it's a relatively new house yet. You walk in the living room, furniture that perfectly fits the style. You know that you come into a cottage-style house when you come into our house. But as you look around, you see much more. You'll see things from Korea, things from Mexico. You'll see things from other nations around the house. And somehow, all of that comes together. It meshes because it reflects our personality. It reflects who we are, what we've done, what we've experienced. Of course, it also has that ubiquitous flat screen in the den too. Can't forget that, because that's part of who we are too. Maybe too much a part of who we are. And even our music books, our CDs, and yes, we still have tapes, range from classics to psalms, traditional hymns, folk music, Dixieland jazz. All of those things are eclectic. All kinds of different, various things brought together to be one. And that's something so many of us forget when we talk about God's election. And we Presbyterians are famous for talking about God's election. But we forget that God didn't just elect to choose a few in the Quad Cities area of Alabama. God has chosen His people around the world. You can travel throughout the world, and I know some of you have many times, probably more than Carol and I have. And still, you can meet brothers and sisters in Christ. That is why on the prayer list on Wednesday, there's always an item. Pray for the Christians in persecuted areas. We are not homogeneous. We belong to a fellowship that covers all the nations. And yes, there are Christians in every nation. There are Christians, brothers and sisters, in every location. God's election has to include that. But if you noticed, this passage also talked about dispersion, scattered. We are scattered out. And that makes us exiles. In the news, we often hear about refugees, whether they're coming from Central and South America here to escape the gang warfares that are in their home areas, or those coming from out of Northern Africa or the Mid East, trying to escape the religious fanaticism that is taking place there. They're refugees, exiles, people who are fleeing. And we don't have to flee because we have all the strength, all the power that we possibly need. But we are exiles. Our father Abraham was an exile. He went out from his country into another country because he was looking for a city not built with hands. That's how we should see it. As that one spiritual says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Do you see yourself as part of that dispersion, part of that scattering? We are scattered. And that scattering can look like several different things. We can be sown into strange soil. Carol and I were sown into South Korea. We were sown into Mexico. Strange soil. Not part of where we grew up. And actually, I can say more clearly than Carol can, I'm still sown in strange soil. When I was in college, if somebody had said I would end up living in northwest corner of Alabama, I don't know what I would have said. What? Northwest Alabama? What's there? Well, somebody then would explain, well, that's where W.C. Handy came from. That's where the Fame Studios are. And I'd say, oh, okay. That'd be about it. And yet, God has planted us here for His glory and for our good. We are scattered. The Father scatters the seeds, as that parable of the sower. God scattered that seed. And that seed is His Word. But His Word is planted in our hearts. And we produce the fruit. And that goes along with the creation command. God said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Human beings have done a good job of that. We've touched, say, contaminated every part of this globe. And even the skies. How much space junk is floating around out there? And even the moon and Mars, and you know, we have junk flying all over the place. We have filled, and yet, we Christians, have we filled the earth? That is the intent of God, that we scatter out, that we plant, that we fulfill the Great Commission. To go from our Jerusalem into Judea and Galilee to the uttermost parts of the earth. Are we doing that? This church, per capita, probably gives more to local and foreign missions than most other churches do. And yet, there's so much more than money involved. We have to give our time, our effort to the spread of the gospel here in Colbert County, in Lauderdale County, Franklin County, as well as enable those to go elsewhere. That was the command that Christ gave to His disciples. And yet, they were gathered together. They stayed together in Jerusalem. They didn't go out until Saul, later who became known as Paul, started persecuting them. That's when they scattered. We don't have to wait for persecution. We should go out right now. So we are elected to be scattered. But also, we are elected by the triune God. We cannot forget that. This passage talks about the foreknowledge of the Father. We Presbyterians often talk about foreknowledge too, don't we? But have you ever thought? It's Greek for fore or before, anterior to, is pro. Knowledge is gnosis. Put those two together, what do you get? Prognosis. Prognosis. We only hear that in medical terms usually. You know, we go to a doctor and we say, okay, what's the prognosis for our disease? But there's another gnosis that the doctor has to use before he can give us the prognosis. And that's diagnosis. The diagnosis, dia or dia, means through. The doctor works through his gnosis, his knowledge. He's thinking about all the diseases that he studied in medical school. He's thinking about all the tests that have been run. And nowadays, there's innumerable amount of tests. So you have to start days and maybe weeks before, so that somebody can analyze those tests and report them to the doctor. He's thinking about all those. He's thinking about the patient itself and how the patient looks and even how the skin feels and all that stuff. He goes through his knowledge so that he can tell you beforehand what the outcome might be. The medical doctors still haven't reached the level that God has, right? They can only say what might happen. But God the Father knew from before the beginning of time exactly what would happen to each of his people, because he is the one that named it. He is the one that said, I'm saving this person to do this task. That is the foreknowledge of God. And as God the Father sees us, calls us, prepares us, then we are sanctified by the Spirit. Today's attribute was holiness of God. Sanctified means made holy. We are cleansed. We are called. We are changed. We are given a new birth through the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that enters us and turns our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh to be able to receive the gospel, to be able to turn and then to be cleansed by Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who sprinkles us with his blood, who cleansed us from all unrighteousness. His life on this earth, his death on the cross, the suffering that he went through that one day, the whippings, the crown of thorns, the spear in his side. He suffered for us. He died for us. But that's not where it ends. We've known a lot of people who's pretty much are concentrated solely on the crucifixion of Christ. And their lives are miserable, because they have that guilt. Jesus gave up all this. Jesus paid all of this. And I'm still the sinner that I am. But Jesus didn't stay on the cross. Jesus was buried. But he rose again from the dead. Jesus conquered death itself, giving us the life, giving us the hope, giving us the joy that we need to be able to be scattered, to be able to live according to his will. He cleansed us so that we can obey him. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you love him that way? Do you want to keep his commandments? Do you want to follow him? The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all involved in our election. They were all working together so that we can be saved. But lastly, we are elected for grace and peace. You often have heard from this pulpit, grace and truth. And actually, whenever I hear this, I have to admit, my mind wanders. My mind often wanders. But my mind wanders when I hear grace and truth. Because in Ciudad Juarez, one of our team members started a church, and it was called Gracia y Verdad. Actually, grace and truth, no, that was started by somebody else. But there were a lot of grace and churches in Tijuana. I mean, in Ciudad Juarez. Gracia y Verdad. Grace and truth. Our team member started a church called Gracia y Paz. Grace and peace. When we have the grace of God, then we have peace. The grace, that free gift, that unmerited favor that we've received, enables us to obey. While we are scattered, it gives us the ability to go on, to seek His face, to return to Him every time we stumble. It is His grace, that gift that we depend upon to keep going. And when we have that grace, when we feel all of that, then we have the peace. Peace that enables us to face times of scattering, that enables us to face times of trial. Peace that enables us to be able to pray for those that are suffering, whether they are around the world or right here at part of our number. This church has been known as a church that prays. This church has been known as a church that sends forth people. And yet, do we have enough grace, enough peace, to pray for the peace of those around us, for the strength of those around us? I want us each to examine our own lives, to examine where we are, to examine our hearts. And first question, do I have the grace of God to be able to follow Christ? And if your answer is no, I don't, now is the time to come to Him. Now is the time to open up your heart to Him, to truly confess your sin as we did in this worship service. Truly ask Him to fill your heart, to fill your life, to fill your mind, that you may truly be one of His. And if you are one who has been moved, and I assume a beautiful holiday weekend, you're here, I have to assume that most of you are here because God has called you to be, then examine your heart. Are you praying enough for those, even within our number, who are ill or by other circumstances can't be with us? Are you meeting with God's people to pray for those people? Are you meeting with others to pray for Christians around the world? I'd like to exhort you. Meet. Meet together for prayer. Meet together, yes, for fellowship. But more importantly, that our brothers and sisters around the world can have peace. I have to remind you, at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, the men meet in the men's classroom, the women meet in the women's classroom for prayer. That's open to everybody. No charge. Come pray. Come on Wednesday nights for prayer. Join the different ministry centers, for all of them are losing members. Join the ministry centers. Take an active part so that you can help other people know that grace and peace. Let us pray. O Lord, we do confess that we do not show others that we have your grace and peace in our hearts. I do ask you that as we are scattered out, either voluntarily or forced out, that we can share the gospel with others. We ask you that you enable us to make our election sure, that we know for without a doubt that we belong to you, and that you enable us to spread the gospel here in Tuscumbia and around the world. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.